Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And welcome back to The Sesh. I'm Kendall Ray.
And I am Janelle.
And we are back again. Yes. And super happy to be back because we
really, really missed
feel
you guys.
So good to be back. I'm like having a really good time. We were just like dancing. Like we're feeling so powerful and hyper. Like,
powerful and hyper.
We were just literally just dancing.
Wow, is that the energy
we
were
feeling? I felt very powerful. And I'm feeling quite hyper. That coffee you got me earlier, whatever that was, it's got me wired.
I introduced her to the brown sugar shaken espresso from Starbucks. If you have not tried this yet, this shit is so good. I'm addicted to them.
Wired. I'm like ready to go.
It's really good. And you got to get it with the oat milk. It makes it
so
10
good.
Times better.
Ooh, I love oat milk. Shout out to that. We love that. Anyways, we are so happy to be back.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, it feels like it's been a while, but it really hasn't been that long. But a lot has like happened since
but
then,
we
I feel
pre-recorded
like.
The episode that you guys saw last, our St. Patrick's guys, Day episode. Yes. And then last week I've had the craziest personal week.
Yeah. I was going to say
just so much going on.
A lot has happened in our lives. And then also of course the Boulder shooting happened just a few days ago, and that's taken a really big, like emotional hit, I guess we have taken a big, pretty big emotional hit from that. So we kind of wanted to touch on that as well. But then we also are doing a little advice segment, and you guys actually submitted them. We sent out a form about a week ago, and you guys submitted like almost 1,000 requests.
That's
which
insane.
I was like shocked. I thought we were gonna get like 100. But you guys sent out a ton, and we didn't pick some, but we had Corelli help us, you know, pick out the best ones. And obviously we can't do all 1,000 of them, so we're gonna have to do like this maybe more than once or twice.
We're gonna do all 1,000 actually,
so get fucking ready.
No, it was surprising though, because we only pulled from Twitter, so I
I put it on Instagram and like the the community, but I was still shocked that that many of you guys were willing or interested in this. So,
and I hope you don't have like too high of hopes or expectations here, because we're definitely not experts on really anything.
God, no.
I feel like I don't know if I should be giving advice.
No, 100%. We should go into this saying that this is for like entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're not here to like literally counsel or help or solve your problems in any way, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this was something that was really requested. And so
I do think it's kind of interesting. I like listening to
advice. I was going to say, I think it's interesting, and because it's, you know, you can find things that are very relatable, and that just hearing people's opinions and how they would handle situations, I just find interesting. So we thought we'd take a shot at it. But yeah, we also have some spices. But before that, how are you doing, Kendall? We are now doing every week, we're going to do a little check-in, because you guys seem to really enjoy that.
Yeah. Definitely. I've enjoyed it too. Yeah. I think it's kind of nice to have a place. This is like one thing I really missed when I switched over to true crime and doing, you know, more focused content.
Sure.
On
not
different
like
topics.
About your life.
Yeah. Less personal.
Right.
I really missed kind of opening up to people, which I think some people think is like kind of strange. Like, don't treat the internet like your diary.
Totally.
But at some points it's very comforting to me. And especially because we do have this fan base, I guess you could say, that's so kind. And I don't know, it makes me feel a lot better to have somewhere like this now where I feel like I can just openly share. And I've been going through some big changes in my family. Mm-hmm. My grandma is moving to Colorado, which is so great, but it's a huge change because she's moving from Florida to Colorado. So she's going from sea level to a mile high.
LOL.
Yeah. Which a lot of people don't know. That's why we call that.
Oh, really?
They don't know.
I guess not everyone knows, but yeah, Denver is the mile high city. Mm-hmm. Because we are basically a mile above sea level up here where the air is thin and everything's dry.
Yeah, that's exactly Colorado.
But it's a big change.
So she's getting used to that and she's on oxygen. She has this lung problem. I won't get into all the details, but you know, now she's being on oxygen all the time. So it's just been a huge change. And Josh and I have been taking care of her by ourselves mm-hmm. for the past week. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a huge adjustment mm-hmm. to we've had to completely refigure the house and then getting the right amount of oxygen. And we've had a few little scares and just, it's a lot of work. Caretaking is a lot of work. I'm sure some of you out there know exactly what it's like. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, I wasn't prepared for how much I would have to just do. So I've just been so we couldn't do the sesh last week. So I was too busy with adjusting to getting her here.
Yeah.
And then this week we had to cancel Mile Higher because I've just been spread way too thin.
Yeah. help because you do have chronic pain and it does mm-hmm. flare up when you are stressed out or if you just, are helping, mm-hmm. If you're moving a lot, how you were saying, rearranging your house to get it set up for her. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, I'm super sore. I was just saying I'm over here with my foot cream. I was just loading up foot cream here. I've been really sore.
Which, by the way, the foot cream kind of smells.
Does it? It smells?
Or maybe it just smells like feet in here because I took off my shoes too.
No, it does kind of smell.
I was going to say, it gives it a.
Ew. So it smells gross in here. That's the update.
That's the update.
But yeah, it's just been a hell of a week, you know? And then mm-hmm. this shooting happened.
Yeah.
And all of us have been just going through it. I think a lot of people all across the nation, sadly, can relate to what this feels like when it happens close to home. It just hits harder than normal. And
yeah,
Coloradans have been through...
A lot
Coloradans,
of these.
Did I say that right? Yeah.
Coloradans, Coloradans, Colorado. I
don't Coloradans.
Know. We've been through a lot of
we have.
Mass shootings.
We have.
Unfortunately.
We have. And it's just been, I literally was I canceled the episode that we were supposed to record for Mile Higher this week right after that happened because we were supposed to spend that night getting prepared, going over our notes and everything. And I was I literally mentally cannot go look at a true crime case right now.
Yeah.
I had to record a video the next day and... It was so hard. It was hard to even focus. I had to say it in the beginning of the video just to preface my anxieties through the roof right now.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
Yeah. I would. Yep.
And I think so many people right now relate.
It's really upsetting to see Colorado, a place that we are so familiar with on national TV for the same reason so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this one, for some reason, it's made me feel so many, I'm really mad. I'm obviously absolutely heartbroken and devastated. I'm scared as fuck. And I feel really helpless, what do we do now? Thoughts and prayers again. And mm-hmm. it's just incredibly, emotional, to be honest. I go through periods of absolutely sobbing and then I'm mad and then I'm kind of numb and mm-hmm. it's a lot to take in, especially at a place like a grocery store where you're mm-hmm. You're just trying to buy food and feel safe. And it's really upsetting that that we have to think about this at the back of, and I'm not just saying people in Colorado, but people in general.
Yeah.
Everywhere in America have to have this thought of going into the store and buying food, going to a theater,
going to a school. Another place to add to the list of we're no longer safe here anymore.
A club, a concert. And I mean, just add it to the list. A spa, a place of worship. It's really scary to think about what it's like now. So then, what is it going to be like in 10 years from now and 20 years from now? And mm-hmm. what is it going to be like when the pandemic ends?
I know. I have no words. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I don't. We're. This is just. It's really intense, and we might edit some of this out. You know, depending. But we just kind of. We're not going to be on here and pretend like this isn't really fucking us up. To be honest, it's been really rough. So,
yeah, I don't know what to say at this point because it feels like truly there's nothing impactful enough that I can't even say at this point.
Exactly.
Everything that needs to be said has been said, and it's still at the end of the day, what do we have?
Exactly.
So it's just really hard. I think what's been, like you said, so difficult about this is King Soopers.
Yeah.
You know, this is for us, this is our Harris Teeter or our Winn-Dixie. Mm-hmm. This is our Colorado Publix, grocery store.
Our Smith's.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's safe there. Like I grew up, my dad would say, let's hop in the car and go for a ride to King Soopers. And I would love that, you know?
Right.
And now I'm thinking mostly about how terrifying having kids is going to be.
Yeah.
Am I going to go into every grocery store and have to plan an exit strategy?
I know. It's now I'm like, I haven't even.
The mic. Did you grab me the tissue there, Sid?
I have.
Sorry. I'm just.
No, you're
kind of caught up with me.
It's. Yeah. No. It's just not. It's not fair that we have to. We as in Americans have to think about this pretty much all the time at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm scared. And personally, I mean, I'm not going to like get political with this, you know, that's really not what we're here for. I'm really heartbroken at the end of the day, and I'm really fucking scared.
Well, I hope everyone is.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's heartbroken now. You know, how can you not be this, you know,
I mean, within 5 days, there were 2 mass shootings in America. That's
almost 20 people in the past week.
Yeah.
And it's happening every day on a smaller scale. But, you know, just this alone, there was an officer shot there who has 7 kids.
The youngest one being 7 years old.
It's like too upsetting to even process fully. And if you're not heartbroken, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
It's really, I'm scared. That's why I think I'm so mad. Cause I'm like, why do I have to be scared now all the time? Like I already have like catastrophic thinking, to be honest. Like that's just a big part of my anxiety is I'm always like worst case scenario everywhere I go. And so it's like, it's frustrating that places where like King Soopers, where I usually, you know, enjoy kind of roaming the aisles and picking out foods that are interesting and maybe like putting in my headphones, listening to a podcast and just kind of like having my own time. It's like frustrating that now I'm like, can't listen to a podcast. Cause what if I need to hear gunshots go off?
I know.
To save my own life. Mm-hmm. And concerts are supposed to be some of like the most freeing, wonderful places for people. And now I'm like constantly having escape plans. I haven't gone to a movie theater all but maybe twice in the past 10 years or whenever that shooting happened, because it's just,
I know, places that you felt were safe when they feel like they're no longer safe. That just does something to your psyche, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, there, it really feels like there is nowhere. I mean, when you can't send your kid to an elementary school without fear, or like a daycare, I mean,
someone tweeted at me that they were in high school this year and they literally spent so much of their time going through active shooter drills.
Yeah.
In their high school. And they were like, you know, someone slams a locker too loud or drops something. We all go to the worst case scenario.
Yep. And I just saw on the news the other day this training that they're having teachers do where they're literally teaching them how to treat bullet wounds.
See, I just, I don't, it's just, that's, I don't know how this is going to affect our all of our mental health, like years to come, and our kids' mental health. And
that's what I'm most scared about, bringing kids into this.
Me too.
Oh my God.
Like I was talking to my mom and she was like, God, you know, I was telling her, like, I'm scared to have kids. I'm scared to send them to school. I'm scared to go places. And she was like, I'm so sorry you're having to deal with that. I never once feared of sending you and your brother to school. I never thought of that. That was never a thought in my mind. Mm-hmm. And now it's like a thought in our mind and we're not even have kids.
It's just, it started when we were so young too, you know, yeah. Like we were, I don't know if you were old enough to remember when Columbine happened. Do you remember?
Vaguely.
You must've been 3, 4. I was like 6.
Were you 6?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think I was like 4 or 5. I kind of remember like the aftershock of it when like people would talk about it and my parents explained like there were bad guys that came into school, but they tried to shelter me pretty well. But
yeah, I don't remember like seeing it on the news or anything, but I remember my parents talking about it. And I remember we had like soccer practice that day and that all the parents were like wigging out at the field that maybe this would happen at all the schools. Is this some like big, it was just so shocking at the time. And that was, I mean, the fact that that made such national news. And now these shootings, like oftentimes it's moved over quickly or some people don't even hear about them. And I understand because how can you keep up with every single thing?
It's exhausting.
Like it is this week has been exhausting keeping up with this because it's our local thing.
And then I feel guilty not keeping up with it. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to seem like I don't care. Cause of course I care. But also like there's a point where I'm like, okay, you have to stop reading about them, the victims for now, and you have to put your shit down and you have to turn something else on because I'm sitting here like literally festering in this sadness and fear. And at the end of the day, I'm like, for what though? Like, so like 2 weeks from now, is this just going to be another statistic and we're moving on to the next thing? Like, I don't.
That's how it's starting to feel.
So needless to say, contacted my therapist.
Good. That's like, an update.
Hello. Can I get on your schedule permanently for like ever?
Yeah, it's definitely been. I'm going to go back and talk to you because it's a lot to process because now it's just an added thing when you go to the grocery store. You know, Sydney just said on her way here, have you guys gone to the grocery store yet? And then it just like it hit me like I haven't even gone yet. Did you go yet?
No, I actually haven't been to like the grocery store. I ran into Target, but yeah,
same.
Not gonna lie, vibe. Yeah. I'm terrified just because I have anxiety as well, and it's just absolutely awful. And for some reason, this one has resonated with me, or
has impacted it is, you?
Yeah, it's impacting greatly. Me like more so than others. Not saying that. Their levels or anything.
Of course not.
You know, just
sure.
With such a mundane task that personally, like you guys are saying, I enjoy. I go at that same exact time.
Yeah.
Because it's not crowded.
Sure.
And it's just awful.
It is. And it's in a location that's like known to be super, super safe. Yeah,
Boulder is like, if you're not aware, it's like where all the, you know, it's very known for like the hippie city.
Some people call it like Granola Town.
Or, yeah, it's very, there's
a lot of just really kind-hearted.
Very outdoorsy, just very wonderful people there. And
that's why I was like, just
it also, yeah, I mean, God, it's just, I can't imagine, you know, I have stepbrothers that grew up in Boulder. And one of them still lives there. And I was told that he was literally about to go to that exact King Supers 5 minutes before it happened. And he lives 2 blocks away.
That's insane.
And he didn't go because he decided to do the dishes instead. Wow. And
that's so crazy.
Yeah. That's just like,
I mean, it puts everything in perspective for you. It really does.
100%. And if I'm being honest, like, I don't want to go into like the details, obviously, but like him and I aren't like super close. We've kind of like maybe lost some connection throughout the years. And so that almost like really even made it more real. Like, holy shit, dude, what if something had happened and you hadn't have talked to him in a few years? And like, it just really like, I know it's so cheesy, but it's like, life is so precious and randomly can be taken away.
Yeah. Just fragile.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Hearing about the victims and I feel bad. This is supposed to be a fun show.
But
I know.
Honestly, though, like, it's supposed to be like a genuine show more than anything.
Yeah, and it's true.
This is how we're genuinely feeling. I mean, I'm not about to come on here and just be like, yeah, it's sad. So anyways, like, this has really fucked all three of us up, as well as many, many people across this country. So,
yeah. And the world, I think.
And the world.
I think the world is just horrified that this is just a regular occurrence now.
So. Yeah, exactly. So
anyway, we do have some other things to talk about, which I think will be good for us to kind of get our minds off things here.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Silly. At least we have one. I want to talk about this fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp business.
Yeah, we are absolutely going to cover that. And we also are going to touch on David Dobrik.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how could we not? This is quite huge. So
a lot has happened.
A lot has happened. But
holy crap.
We will get into all of that after a word from our sponsors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, so David Dobrik. This has gotten crazy, this situation. Last we talked about him was for those puzzles, the QR puzzles.
Oh,
they were QR code jigsaw puzzle.
We talked about the making out with the Jason Nash gorilla thing. Yeah. Remember we were
we briefly touched on it though.
It wasn't
briefly.
Like, and that was before shit had really popped off. That was mostly just when Trisha and Ethan were like actually starting to talk about it.
Okay. Okay. Now I remember.
Yes.
And we haven't recorded since shit really hit the fan.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a while. But so shit hit the fan.
I mean, yeah, I'd like to correct my previous statement. Remember when I was like, David seems like nice guy. He seems like an okay dude. But I just knew nothing about him. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's facing major controversy. If you don't, I mean, this is like on CNN now.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, this is pretty well known. It's being covered by like everyone, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's having controversy over SA allegations. We're going to try and abbreviate as much as we can here. You understand the Dom part more and like,
well, I've watched all the interviews and all the H3 coverage of this and Frenemies and I've watched the whole thing. I mean, I know enough now that I kind of understand it, but the whole Vlog Squad thing has really blown my mind learning more about this.
That's the
world
thing.
Of David Dobrik.
It's like you and I didn't.
It's fucking wild.
We didn't really know much about the Vlog Squad and
not
stuff
at
before
all.
This.
So I've learned how set up these vlogs are and how David seems to view them as skits. And it seems like the whole group kind of views them as skits. In fact, this guy, Jeff, I think it's Wittick.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah.
Whatever. Jeff, he went on H3. He did this live interview with them, which was quite spicy. Mm-hmm. They just roasted him. It was like, he just had no idea what the fuck he was getting into. It was pretty bad. But he tried to explain that David's vlogs are kind of like SNL. And that every week, you know, he picks skits, like kind of... a premise for his vlog.
Yeah.
And he was explaining that like everyone on the team will like pitch ideas to David of like, here's a skit we can do. And then if David picks your thing, it's like an honor. And it's basically he tried to be like, it's the same as when an SNL writer
gets picked
for their skit.
Okay.
Which I mean, this is a really shitty comparison because these are not skits. These are vlogs and real people inside of them.
Yeah.
But that's how David, it seems, views this.
Sure.
And the way he is business-wise is very interesting. The way he operates this whole thing and just how many people are involved in it. He retakes so many things. They reshoot all this stuff.
I remember Trisha talking about that. And who else was talking about? Someone else that was interviewed. I remember they were like,
Jeff,
it's kind of like, hey, say the joke again. Like,
exactly.
As in like, make it funnier, laugh harder.
Yep.
Be sillier.
They'll straight up be like, oh, this laugh isn't good enough. So he'll like redo the whole skit. So that's really what they're trying to play off now is like, these are skits and they are consensual, but there's this guy in it. I don't even know what he looks like, but his name is Dom. Mm-hmm. But this guy goes around to like frats. I saw this video of him. He would like go to different schools and go to their parties and like kind of go on tour.
The vlogs of him is like a frat. They're like, yeah, the vlogs
kind of
like a frat.
Seems like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so this guy goes around and like parties.
Well, it seems like according to this Jeff guy, they all kind of have a role. Like, mm-hmm. and Dirty Dom is kind of like the bad boy who loves girls.
Like, that's his role. It's just like it's just like a skit though, but he's just like the creeper.
Yeah, he literally
bad
was
boy.
Like, I went to jail, so my role is kind of the guy who went to jail.
Okay, sweet dude.
So it seems like he kind of meets people and they like become like cast of his, they like are literally part of his cast.
Yeah.
His life is like this movie that he creates right. and perfectly distributes into these 4-minute vlogs and right. uploads.
Right.
Well, obviously he doesn't do it anymore, but back then when they mm-hmm. were doing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's all these allegations going on. Two different women have spoken up against their inappropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm. Claiming
there's
wording
questioning. Yes.
Going on. Yes.
Yeah. And it seems, I mean, even David in his apology video, which we'll get into, mm-hmm. said that he believes the women, mm-hmm. which it's like,
well, you kind of have to say that, though. I mean, yeah. he's not going to come out and be like, I don't believe them.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Yeah.
Whether he
whatever.
Does or not.
He should have said something way sooner than if you really believe them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like that definitely has, it definitely happened. Mm-hmm. And there was underage drinking is kind of the in question is who supplied alcohol, whose credit card was it on? Was it on Jason Nash? Was it on David Dobrik? Because apparently David Dobrik doesn't like to put anything in his credit cards and he doesn't really drink. And it seems like he really like lets everyone else get really drunk. And then
that's the interesting part
weird.
Is that he doesn't drink, but like encourages everyone else to drink.
Yeah.
A lot. Or it seems like to the whatever amount it takes to like loosen them up and get them to perform well for his vlogs.
And to do like different sexual things.
Yeah. I feel
like threesomes. He's like arranging.
He's kind of like a puppet master. He's like the ringleader yeah. of all of yes. his little like clowns and puppets. And he's like, clowns and I didn't mean like clown. Well, kind of clown. Some of them are clowns, but
I say it's accurate. It's like a circus.
It's a circus. Come, they're like, come join the circus.
It's honestly fucking wild. The whole vlog squad world is weird. It's like very cultish.
Yeah,
it scares me.
Brat, honestly.
Imagine
like,
if
you're in or you're
like
not.
Things were like that here. Like we had all these like bizarre rules and we like
retook
things
yeah.
and like all these secrets and like it's very like they have like protocols of like don't speak up about certain things
yeah.
and yeah it's very like David Dobrik's like kind of mob leader vibes, you know, or like
yes.
cult leader vibe. I don't know.
Well, I feel like he portrays like the innocent goofy one that's yeah. just there with the camera to catch the funny things that happen and his friends are all crazy and funny, but I think in reality he's like setting them up to mm-hmm. perform theoretically and like make fools out of themselves or you know do something drastic that will yep. get views, and then David's over here kind of like ditching any flack because he's not the one, it's his like goofy friend,
yeah,
and he's just like here to give away Teslas.
It's very obvious now looking at it
right
with that lens, and that's clearly what is going on,
right?
And that's why he brings all these different people in his life, and when they don't allow, when they stand up and they're like, hey, I don't want to be used by you like this,
right,
he ditches them. He
exactly.
like stops being friends with them, stops filming with them. He has all the oh, it's so weird.
It is very bizarre. I
bet there's many more secrets. I'd love to know more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure this is like just the, who knows what goes on. I'm sure
yeah.
there's like, you know, NDAs, who knows? So
yeah.
I don't know exactly. But either way, for a while, he was like just basically denying, mm-hmm. ignoring.
Trying to sweep it under the rug.
Trying to sweep it under the rug.
Which is kind of what
the video that was like basically deflecting the whole mm-hmm. thing. It was really short, and then
yeah.
people were pissed because they were like, what kind of shit ass video is that? Like,
and it was posted to his like podcast channel
oh,
or something,
yeah. right?
It was very, very bad. And so he did another apology.
Yeah, he did another one this time.
It's very mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been at first I guess it was getting tons of likes, mm-hmm. and but I mean, I think a lot of people are realizing that this is likely, like what he made this apology if all his sponsors pulled out.
That's the interesting part is he's like, I'm sorry for like ever. And then all of a sudden his sponsors pull out and now
yeah.
he's crying and saying he's sorry, which I'm like watching that. If you just took everything else away and just watched the apology, I
yeah.
feel like you would probably be like, okay, that's, you know, it seems to be genuine. At least that's kind of where I was getting at, is that it seemed like he was saying all the right things, right?
But right, then I textbook, was like, surface level.
But then I was like, if you put everything else of like the context of when he uploaded that and what he uploaded before and how he got sponsors ripped, and SeatGeek is like, I mean, him and SeatGeek have been like obsessed with each other since day one. So the fact that they pulled out from working with him, I think it's kind of, and then he put up the apology. I'm like, are you apologizing to the people who are accusing you of doing bad things and accusing others, or are you apologizing to SeatGeek?
And I think it was also because Jeff did such a horrible interview like the day before that he realized like, I need to put out my own version of things before people just start fucking up on live streams and saying things that aren't true.
Damage
or like
control.
Yeah, I think he felt like he needed to do that to protect himself, you know. But I agree, it was very like calculated, and it makes you feel like it's disingenuine, because look, he lost DoorDash, EA Sports, HelloFresh, SeatGeek. He's probably not gonna get any new stuff, because now, I mean, maybe eventually, whatever, but it's gonna be a long time. But he does all these sponsored Tesla gives away. He gives out so much money.
Right.
I mean, nowhere near Mr. Beast levels. But like, even his house, his mortgage payment must be insane. I mean, the dude, I don't know if you guys have seen his mansion, but he has a drinking fountain with fruit punch. Yeah. And it's like the wildest house.
It's huge.
It's so bougie.
It's And so, it's in LA. I can't imagine how much it is.
He's probably just shitting bricks, because he's like, what am I going to do? And he's probably got so many people on his payroll. That Jeff guy says he's got 10 people. He's got 10 employees. Jeff.
Yeah?
Just Jeff, not David.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm surprised not more.
David's Jeff, got probably way more like, than that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got zillions.
But just Jeff.
Just interesting. I did not know that. Wow. Okay.
I know.
And that's what's so... Oh, and the other thing that was really interesting is that he was like saying... how he's going to make like an HR team. And I was like, if you are David Dobrik and you don't have HR, dude, like that's not okay. You need to you're a giant company.
Mm-hmm.
You're huge.
Yeah. That's really bad.
You're like one of the biggest people on the internet and you don't have an HR person or a way for someone to, you know, get help or report things if needed. I don't know.
Especially with this many people in it and the type of content that he's putting out in these vlogs, like it seems like you would have to have something like that legally, like
exactly
very odd.
That's what I
the whole thing is too. Extremely odd.
I'm sure he's regretting it now, because now he's kind of scrambling.
Oh, he's regretting a lot right now. So I mean, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think, I mean, it's clear what you think. You've never been a fan of...
Yeah, to be honest, I've never been a fan of David. I've always thought he's just, like, very fake online, and I just got, like, really annoying in disingenuine vibes from him since day one, so I've never been a real fan, but I...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of... Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now I'm like, now I really have like a solid, before I was like, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it, but I don't like it. I can put my finger on it now.
Yeah, me too. We'll my finger's definitely on it.
Fingers on it.
Wild.
And I'm, now that I look back, I'm like, I'm not that surprised, because he seems like the type of person to use people and to
clearly,
and one again, this all goes back to the fucking discussion of family vlogging, daily vlogging, just vlogging in general. When do you cross the line? Well, it's hard when the lines are blurred between your job and your real life, and you know, you gotta one up yourself every time a good vlog comes out with some like great event or drama or whatever. You can't put out a boring one the next day.
And he's obsessed with views. It's so obvious. Yes. He even named his podcast fucking Views. Yes. But I think that's such a good point. This really does connect back to the conversation around family vlogging and vlogging in general. Mm-hmm. People being in your vlogs. I mean, do all the people sign consent forms to be in his vlogs? Which it sounds like maybe they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's been some kind of gray area. It sounds like they're signing things after they're in his vlogs. Mm-hmm. Very questionable. But yeah, it's just kind of like a big family. If you think about it, his vlog squad is kind of like his family. Like, is David exploiting all these different people by having them in his vlogs and making them do all the crazy stuff, which is kind of like the same argument when your kids are doing, kind of making the entertainment.
Right.
they're and you're the just using it and uploading it. And yeah,
exactly.
I think that ties very much into that discussion.
Think about family vlogging. A lot of times, like, you see the thumbnail and it's not about the vlogger. It's about their kid or about another family. So-and-so did this. This kid had this. Whatever fell down. This person lost this or, you know, so whatever. True. And so, but it's also the same for these types of vlogs. If it's never like David Dobrik, it's always like some type of special guest or some celebrity or some other person did something stupid or some other person did something
extreme.
Yeah. It's always like the extremes. And so, I don't know. I just am like, how long, I guess... Yeah, it's going to catch up to at some point. And I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest, because it sounds like this shit's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised that, like, why did he, I'm wondering, like, did he not know what he was doing was wrong? Or did he know and he just didn't think he'd ever get caught or exposed for it? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, he is super young too. Maybe is it possible that he just genuinely didn't realize how wrong what he was doing at the time of all these different, when he's hurt all these different people? And
I don't know. I guess.
I don't know.
I'm like, I don't, I was never, I'm not, you know, personally involved. So I don't know how bad it really was behind the scenes. I don't know how much people really tried to, you know, reach out and say, hey, this is not cool. Can you stop doing this? And if he listened or not, kind of sounds like he doesn't really like listen, or like you said, he's kind of like, okay, no problem, dude, you can get out of the vlog though, like, we don't need you anymore type of thing. So I don't know, it's very interesting, and I think it's really, I think more of this is going to start coming out. I think more and more in general are just going to
start. Well, that's what happens when you do that many vlogs with all these different people. And you're, I mean, I'm sure many people got stuff to say. I just saw Gabby Hanna was like tweeting that she's like gonna, they're gonna end up suing her, some vague tweet, but I have a feeling she's gonna start popping off about some stuff that she's gone through. And yeah, I think a lot of people will, I mean this is what always happens,
true,
in toxic situations like this, more and more people are gonna come forward if they feel enough support from the public.
100%.
So
yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about a lighter topic.
Yes.
A little shrimpier topic.
Spicy.
Cinnamon toast shrimp.
Ugh, this is some nasty shit, man.
I think it's delicious.
So I'm sure most of you guys have heard about this. Yeah. This was super, super viral.
Unless maybe you're not on Twitter, because I asked John and he hadn't even heard of it. I was like, this guy lives under a rock. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're talking about it on the late night shows.
I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stephen Colbert even... posted this thing.
Well, John just works too much. That's, he doesn't do anything. No wonder he doesn't. He doesn't never know about anything.
He's like,
the dude works all day.
Is it daytime or night? No. It'll be over soon. But anyways, okay.
So Monday morning, this guy, Jensen Karp, who is a journalist, I guess, poured himself a bowl of his favorite cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's a good cereal, right?
It's so good.
One of the best.
That's what I'm like, oh no.
I know. Horrifying.
<It's> so good.
And then he's pouring it in, and then all of a sudden he looks down and he sees a couple of sugar-coated shrimp tails plopping out into his bowl. What the fuck?
S-C-S, sugar-coated shrimp. And if you if you look at these shrimp, you guys, like, okay, they're tails, but they are that's literally so look like they went through like the sprinkling process of the cinnamon and sugar.
Yeah.
Like they look like they like went through the tumbler or whatever it is that coats
the same thing. Like, they look like they've been around with those guys hanging out for a while.
They've been through the whole process.
Yeah. Yep.
So he immediately, he's a comedian and a writer in LA. And then his wife, a
comedian and a writer,
his wife, Danielle Fishel.
Yep. She played Topanga on Boy Meets World, which is one of my favorite shows.
I don't even know what that is, but
I've watched it fully. Oh, you have,
you
Sid?
Were doing Sid?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Topanga, yeah. the best romance of all time is Corey and Topanga. I love them so much. But yeah, I guess she's married to this guy, Jensen. So she kind of got wrapped into it, made it a little more interesting.
But of course, he took to Twitter and was like, hi, what the fuck? Like, basically tweeted a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like, I found these shrimp tails. And Cinnamon Toast Crunch came back and was like, after further investigation with our team that closely examined the image, it appears to be an accumulation of the cinnamon sugar that sometimes can occur when the ingredients aren't thoroughly blended. We assure you that there is no possibility of cross-contamination with shrimp.
What the fuck?
Okay, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the picture is like, it's so clearly shrimp tails. It's like not even, it's like no, how, like literally, how could you be so stupid?
It is kind of
like whoever's on their account that really tried to say, like, our team closely examined this, like, and it is an accumulation of cinnamon sugar in a shrimp tail, like, form.
It's so clearly what a the shrimp fuck.
That is wild.
It looks like someone's shrimp cocktail tail that they, like, pinched out of their mouth and put into the cinnamon sugar. It's so sick.
Is it going to stop you from eating cinnamon toast?
Probably not.
Yeah, I was going to say,
because,
what the hell?
Because I don't even know if this has really happened.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. We don't know if this is even real.
And this is, yeah, okay. So, this shit went viral, obviously, because people are like, oh, and also, it wasn't just the shrimp. They also had, like, little black, like, pieces, yeah, like burnt pieces, uh-huh, and then like a string, which he said it was floss,
dental floss or something.
And the bag of the actual cereal had looked like it was like taped, like open and then taped back up, which I'm like, okay, but also, like, I don't know if that was, could it be him to, like, add to the story? Uh-huh. Like, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. And what? Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
But General Mills was like, okay, please send us the shrimp so that we can take a look and confirm if it's shrimp or not. He was like, hell no, I'm not sending you all the shrimp. I'm going to take it to an independent lab to DNA test it.
Yeah, because they're going to pull some conspiracy shit.
They're going to try to say
it's the fake. Great shrimp conspiracy.
I would do the same thing if I were him. Yeah. Send it into the lab.
Yep.
Private lab.
So he's sending in the black little burnt pieces, the shrimp, and maybe the floss as well to confirm what all this is. But he's also sending it to General Mills, so we'll see what they even come out and say. Okay, and then a few days after the original post was made, a woman named Melissa Stetton, who is a writer, mm-hmm, and also Jensen's ex-girlfriend, tweeted out, and she said, "What you may not know about the man behind the viral posts was, like, he's a manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend who once told me he was surprised I hadn't killed myself because my life was so worthless." So that's obviously blew up. And since that tweet, many others have shared their experiences in past relationships. It turns out he's kind of not a great dude.
Yeah, it seems like he's a douche.
Yeah. So a lot of people have accused him of being emotionally abusive and manipulative and like a notorious liar as well. Mm. So some people are like, okay, is he just making this whole thing up?
Which people have done. Do you remember the whole at Chili's thing?
No.
Wait, you don't remember that?
There's a finger at...
You don't, you remember that? You remember it?
Yeah, I remember that.
Ew, yep. Wait.
I'm going to look it up real disgusting. Fast.
Dude, this happens a lot, though. Like, there was a mouse found in the bottom of an Arizona iced tea can.
Ew.
Not long ago. There was like a Capri Sun that was found to have like a shit ton of like thick mold. It looks like a sponge inside the Capri Sun, which I was like, that's so depressing because Capri Suns are like my favorite.
I should cover this. This woman went to prison for 4 years because she planted a severed finger in a Wendy's bowl of chili.
Oh,
and tried to pretend it was in there, but she didn't. I need to.
It was so. She
it happened when I was a kid. I don't remember all the details. Now I want to do a video on it.
Where'd she get the finger?
That'd be funny.
How did she get a finger to put it in the chili?
That's the question we all want to know. There's an answer. I need to look it up.
It wasn't one of her.
Someone's going to comment it below. Yeah. We'll find out. Where did the finger come from, guys?
Where did she get it? Was it one of hers? Wow. Ew.
Yeah, pretty nasty. So is this another Wendy's finger situation?
And of course he's like, I would never do that to my favorite cereal. Like, why would I? I'm like, because you want money maybe, or fame, or I don't know. I'm not accusing him of lying. I don't know. Maybe it's completely the truth and there really are shrimp and burnt things.
You made a good point earlier today. You're like, he could be a douche and also still get some shrimp in his cinnamon toast crunch.
He could be a notorious liar and it's emotionally true.
Maybe it's
terrible.
Karma caught up to his karma. Ass. In the form of shrimp in his cereal.
Do you imagine if it really is true, you're just pouring your cereal, shrimp tails just come out.
Well, I'm not going to stop eating it because it's good.
It's oh my god. But yeah,
we'll have to keep updated on that situation. If there's any updates to that, maybe some lab results, we'll put it in as a pinned comment. But let's get into some life advice. But before we're going to do that, we have a word from our sponsors.
Yes.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Okay, I am ready to give some advice. Unsolicited advice. Woohoo. Take it or leave it.
Yeah,
it might be horrible.
Yeah, no.
So don't take it too seriously.
Full disclaimer, this is just our opinions. We are not giving you professional...
That's my opinion! That's my opinion!
No, seriously, we're not giving you medical advice, mental health advice, anything like that. We are just stating our opinion. Take it or leave it. Okay, number one. They say, hi, cuties. I was wondering if you had any advice on starting better self-care, positive self-talk, and what both of you personally do for, quote, me time that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm.
That's some challenging stuff right there. I definitely don't have, like, the perfect answer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Something I'm still really working on.
I think everyone's working on it to some extent, right? Like, I feel like it depends on the day or the time, you know, the period of my life that I'm going through. Like, sometimes I'm doing great with self-care, positive talk, you know, but then other days I'm like, other times in my life, I'm like sucking and like forgetting to do anything for myself.
That's been me the last like 2 weeks. It's been bad. I'm just like, I haven't had time.
Yeah.
And I know some people feel like that where they don't have any time for themselves, you know?
Right. I would say
at least positive self-talk. I can say that's been one thing that's been like a huge challenge for me my whole life, and it still is, obviously, but I have made some big progress in that area in the last year.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about replacing each individual thought. It's not something that you can just all of a sudden like flip this switch and you're all of a sudden this positive person who loves everything about yourself and is constantly that's just so unrealistic. It's more,
I think,
recognizing.
Exactly. I was saying that. I think like the processing. First step honestly is like becoming aware of how much negative things you even say to yourself, whether that's out loud or in your mind. I think it's, we're so used to it that we kind of don't even realize how, like, if that was stupid or like, you know, in your head, anything like that. And it's just kind of maybe taking a moment to try and become more aware. And when you do catch yourself saying something negative or thinking something negative about yourself, taking a moment to be like, oh, that's interesting. I, you know, said that. And then trying to replace it with a positive thought, or somehow instead of, you know, something that's terrible happening, it's an opportunity instead to learn X, Y, and Z. Trying to, because you really, at the end of the day, it's about like retraining these thoughts that we have had in our minds forever.
And
it's hard to retrain your mind.
It's going to take time.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as easy as just, I know it sounds like, oh, just replace the thought.
But it's, no, not in the sense of like, but it's like acknowledging the hurtful thing you said to yourself or whatever, and then, you know,
or just like the negative thoughts that you're having, negative thinking, and trying to, it's not always easy though to just be like, well, now I'm just gonna like picture rainbows and butterflies and tell myself I'm beautiful and I love my body and I'm so happy. Like, it's just not realistic. But it's about stopping before you get into a tumble of negative self-talk, like reverting your attention to something stimulating for your mind, or meditating, or reading, or watching a movie, anything to like stop the cycle from continuing on to where you just get to a horrible self spot.
But also it's important, I think, to not judge yourself when you do catch yourself doing that, or even if you catch yourself and then 10 minutes later you do it again, not saying, oh, I'm so negative to myself. It's, you know, that, because that contributes again of the, you know,
I'm not
the pattern
good at making myself positive.
Exactly. And you can think like judging that is like the worst thing you can do, rather than just acknowledging and observing it kind of, and taking it as not as a good thing or a bad thing. It's just, that's what's happening. Now, is there a way that I can try a different approach and see how that feels?
Yeah.
Because like breaking any habit takes a long time, and negative self-talk can be a habit. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd say one thing like externally, as far as like positive self-talk, is if you're on social media, to unfollow or mute people pages that make you feel bad, even if you feel guilty about feeling bad, even if they're a great person and they like you and they comment on your cute shit, but for some reason seeing their post makes you feel shitty about yourself in any way, mute them. They're not going to know. And really try and only interact on social media with things that genuinely make you feel good.
Yes, that is the best tip that I've ever learned from the whole body positivity community. I can't remember who said to do that like years ago. And I just went through my Instagram and did this mass unfollowing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it wasn't personal, or like I would mute people mm-hmm. too that I was friends with. But like if there were just certain things that would be, I just couldn't handle it. Yeah. They're too negative for me, or, you know, whatever. But right. And then replacing a bunch of that content with really strong people who yes. inspire me, who make me feel good, who are relatable and real.
Yeah.
And we're going to link a ton of accounts that we both follow yeah. that we really recommend yes. adding to your feed if you're yes. on Instagram, that are just amazing to yeah. follow.
Just and really uplifting.
Yeah.
Because that is a lot of women positivity.
It's really hard. Like getting on social media, you can get off feeling so terrible yeah. about yourself. Like, oh exactly. my God, it still happens to me all the time. You know, I'm still, you can't escape it.
No, there's
completely.
No, right, of course.
I mean, Instagram for sure isn't my safe place.
No.
I don't go to it when I'm stressed out. No. I'm barely on Instagram. Yeah, but
same.
When I do get on there, most of the time it's really positive, encouraging yeah. content that is good for me. Because Instagram knows. That's what I always like.
That is true.
Instagram keeps track of what you're liking. So if you don't want to see stuff that makes you upset, don't like that
don't
stuff.
Don't swipe on it. Don't watch the video. And if you do see something you like, really like it, maybe save it.
Or comment on it.
Comment on it. And it will start to learn what you want mm-hmm. to see. And it will, you know, push out more of that type of stuff. And mm-hmm. that's going to look different for everyone. Like mm-hmm. for us, it's animal content, yeah. like a lot of just women positivity, mental health positivity, mm-hmm. Like plants and just like random interest food accounts. That's the kind of stuff mm-hmm. that I like to follow.
Educational things.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then as far as like, what do we do personally for me time that makes you feel good? We talked about this a little bit, but like vegging out to reality TV makes, I mean, I'm serious, like to make it's like for me time, because it kind mm-hmm. of allows myself to separate from my own mm-hmm. struggles and what I'm going through in my life and just kind of like focus on something else. So that's really great to veg out.
Yeah.
Like taking baths.
I love throwing on a good like podcast yeah. on my phone and like walking around the house
yes.
and kind of tidying up. That's kind of my me time, I find, or
yes.
watering my plants. I love watering my plants mm-hmm. and sometimes it's hard because I overwater them because of that. But I really like caring for my plants. It's very good for my mental health and it's kind of my time to zone out and listen yeah. to my little show or whatever I want to have on.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So
yeah. All right.
That was a long answer.
I know. I was going to say, we can't keep that. We can't do like a 10-minute explanation.
What's wrong with us? It's been a while though. I feel like
yeah.
we're going to do a long episode today because it has been a while.
It has been a while. Exactly.
We missed you guys. We need this time. We were just yeah. saying like how much we need this
yeah.
time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I love this
yeah.
platform. So, okay. Next one. If you were given the chance to give yourself advice, what would it be? Any type of advice from any age between 20 and 25. So where I'm 26, Kendall's about to be 28.
Damn. 20 to 25.
It that really changes, because who I was at 25 was not anything. I don't just want anything, but I was quite different than when I was at 20. I'm trying to think back to when I was 20. I was sophomore in college.
I would tell myself around that age to work on letting go of control, because at that age in my life, especially in my early 20s, I had so much anxiety that I was kind of a control freak about everything and everyone in my life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes about Josh and our, like even our relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was so worried about like everything, just about making sure he was saving money and mm-hmm. like not eating out.
Yeah,
like,
I remember.
Stupid little things, or like making sure he got to bed on time. Remember how yep. stressed out I'd be? I was yes. like, he's got less than, you know, a certain amount of hours of sleep, he'll be like tired in the car ride. Like I was just so stressed out all the time. And then my parents got divorced, and that was the biggest like, boom, you have no control of fucking anything
yeah.
from here on out with this situation.
Yep.
And I had to literally learn. I learned so many skills when it comes to letting go and like just realizing things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can't control everything.
Yeah.
And how much that has helped me. I mean, that would be my main advice to myself, is to like, let the small shit go, you know?
Totally. That's a great point. One thing I learned in the past, probably like 5 years, honestly, is a lot of times when I'm in the moment and something seems so shitty and it's like, oh, so fucked up, and then whatever, I think I ask myself a month from now, will I even remember this or will it matter? 99% of the time it's no.
Right?
And then I'm like, it kind of puts it into perspective, like, okay, well then it's really not that big of a deal
mm-hmm.
at all.
On the grand scheme.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As far as my advice, I would probably say to, honestly, like, be able to try harder to separate myself from rescuing my family members that are going through something difficult.
Oh,
and I'm not going to like get too personal, but yeah, there I was very enmeshed with people very, very close to me and my family.
Me too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've definitely
emotional enmeshment.
And I felt like it was my duty to save them and to make sure that everything was okay. And it did nothing but run me into the ground.
Yeah.
And I really realized that, like, I have to live for myself first before anyone else. I have to put my own oxygen mask on first before I can help others. Because if I'm just trying to, like, save everyone else, first off, that's very unhealthy to try and save your own family members. I mean, what kind of lack of boundaries is that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
we both can relate to that.
Seriously.
On a pretty close level. But yeah, I think that would probably be my biggest advice, which I don't know if that, like, relates to, you know, half of you guys. I mean, who knows? But yeah,
I'm sure just, a lot of people get that.
Yeah, it's the idea of, and I'm still learning it today. I mean, I'm still trying to take my own advice of, like, live for yourself.
That's one of the top issues I'm in my, like, therapy goals.
Yeah, it's hard. Especially because you and I do have such bad anxiety at times, and we don't like having the unknown and not being able to control what the fuck's going on. And so we feel very, like, chaotic in our own lives. That's why I'm always trying to, like, put out little fires so that at the end of the day, I think I can be like, oh, okay, like, everyone's okay. So I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like for yourself at the end of the day. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I've realized.
Yeah.
All right. This one says, I'm going to be moving out of my parents' house in May. Congratulations. That's very exciting. Woo. And moving in with my fiance. Do you have any suggestions on how I could make the transition easier and less stressful?
Okay.
Let's think back. It's been quite a long time.
I know.
Since we first moved in with our men.
Let's see. I moved in with John sophomore year, so I was like 20. I don't know how old you are, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
I was freshman year. It's like
your freshman year? Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty young.
Let's see. Thinking back, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was extremely lucky. It was actually a really easy transition. I knew John for a long time. I don't know how long you've been with your fiance and stuff, but I knew him for so long that I felt as though we kind of already could predict how we live in our personal spaces, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because I kind of knew his routine already in a sense. But there was like a few things, as you know, like simple things of like whose space is where you know, I'm much more of like a cluttered person. Like I have the tendency to like kind of tornado through a room and like put my shit everywhere and then randomly like get the urge to clean everything at once. Whereas John's more like clean as he goes.
Yeah.
So I think learning to like try and be like, okay, in the common spaces, I can't just leave my crap everywhere all the time, you know, type of thing.
It has been a long time to think back to all this, but I mean, I think one of the biggest things for Josh and I was realizing how much you still need time apart. I think that's a big challenge for couples. Yes. Is like once you're sharing a space, that's like you're not used to spending that much time with each other.
True.
And that can be a bit overwhelming. So I think making sure you allow each other to have alone time and space, even if that's like 30 minutes in the morning or like at that, you know, just you've got to make sure you actually take that time. Cause I felt like sometimes Josh and I felt a little like we were together all the time. And like sometimes we still feel like that. Yeah. And it's really important for us to have space.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Another thing I was going to say, another pro tip, you got to make sure you have some toilet spray, girl. That's like number one in living with a guy. Get that. Make sure you have that.
I don't even use toilet spray.
That was one of my big concerns when I moved in with Josh. Like, will he know? Like, or is he going to hear me in the bathroom? Like, it's things like that you don't ever think about.
That's true. See, maybe I'm just gross because I...
Yeah, no, you and John are kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it depends on how your relationship is. Now me and Josh are like, whatever. But I remember when I first moved in with him, God, I was so nervous about him like seeing me without makeup on.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing. Like,
I remember that.
Remember, yep. I slept with foundation next to the fucking bed and I like would pour it on like it was some lotion, some moisturizer in the morning. I'd be like, hi, I just look like this. I'm sure I looked insane.
It's so funny. Yeah, 100%.
Also, and then finances is a big deal too.
Yeah, which I don't know if like you guys are joining that as well or not. That's like a whole other topic. Mm-hmm. But also I think one thing that's really important is communicating, like if something is becoming an issue and you kind of notice it, that it could, you know, become a regular problem, to bring it up as soon as you can.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just gonna, one of you is just gonna be pissed off secretly and the other person probably doesn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And that's really not fair to either of you. Mm-hmm. So if you can, you know, even if it's like a once a week check-in of like, hey, how's it going? You know, it can be helpful, especially mm-hmm. if you have never lived with someone, because it really does bring you together on a different level. Mm-hmm.
Your battles, but make sure you are heard about important,
right?
Like what is actually important to you at the end of the day.
Exactly.
I think that's a great point. And that's definitely my number one relationship advice to anybody is communication is key. That is the truest thing. Yeah. It really is. It's like everything else connects back to how much you communicate as a couple, I think.
Absolutely.
Sydney, do you have any advice that you want to share?
I was going to say, that's a good question.
You've been living with Jared. You guys moved in together full time about 2-3 years ago now.
And you guys were doing long distance.
Yeah.
So it was a different, like we were, you know, in the same town as our partners. So, but you guys were, you know, not together for like physically together for a long time.
Explain.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. So we moved in together and I'm not going to lie. It was like totally honeymoon phase at first. Mm-hmm. And then...
Because, I mean, you'd been together for years leading up to this long distance. Right. Finally got to move in together.
Yeah. Long distance for like, what was that? Five, 7 years?
Something like that.
Crazy. I mean, it's been a long wild time. I'm glad it worked out.
It was like 8 years, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
4 years of college for both of you. Yeah.
Yep. We, in different times. So,
yep.
I'm really happy that it worked out because I would have been brutal if we like moved in together and we're like, wait, we don't even like each other. Oh my gosh. Dude.
There's always that concern though. You know, it is a big change. Like it could go great or it could be the sign to ditch that relationship.
Totally. No. Honestly, it was that we were so excited to like live together. It was fun and whatnot. But I mean, there's like the little things that I had my moments and, he's had his, but I think just like learning each other and like learning each other's ways, because that was a big thing. Like I had a hard time understanding sometimes the way he did things.
Sure.
And I like didn't even think about like, oh, maybe I should look at it differently. Like I just was like, that's weird.
That's not the way I'm doing it.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So it took me a minute to say, okay, you know, maybe he does it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
so far so good.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys definitely have your whole routine like completely nailed down now. I mean, you'll get into the swing of things when you move in with your partner. It'll like maybe be a little, I mean, of course there's going to be an adjustment, but you'll figure it out. If it's meant to be, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Okay. Next one. What are some tips on allowing yourself to feel comfortable completely opening up to a therapist?
Oh, it can feel so overwhelming going to that first therapy session too. Cause it feels like, holy crap, I've got to open the book of my life.
I got to tell everyone my story to the stranger.
Do we need to like break out a family tree and be like, well, this person is estranged. This person left. This person was abandoned. Like,
it's hard. And then you're like, how could they possibly understand what I'm going through? Because then without me explaining the whole thing, and I can't explain the whole thing, and they're never going to understand my dynamic between this person and that and the other.
Or you just may feel like, how do I trust this stranger?
How do I trust someone to open up?
Has that been hard for you ever? That's never really been an issue for me. I go into every therapist and I'm just like
telling them shit.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely been times where I'm like embarrassed to talk about something, or like I, you know, like I don't want to or something. But I try really hard to remember that I'm paying for this and I am doing myself a disservice if I am not trying to be as vulnerable and honest as I can be.
So you guilt yourself financially.
Listen, motherfucker, you have 50 minutes to talk about your feelings. No.
But how do you actually like become comfortable if you are, I mean, that just might take some time though.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing that
building up,
what's it called?
Rapport.
I think it's incredibly important to remember that a lot of people think that who haven't been to therapy before think that it's going in, you immediately are like comfortable with this person, they immediately understand you, you immediately understand them, and they're going to fix your problems in a month, you'll be feeling better. When in reality, you know, the first several sessions are just figuring each other out, growing trust with a person. I mean, the majority of what you get out of counseling is the relationship you have with your counselor. So it's okay to be picky. It's okay to not click with your counselor and say, you know, they're smart, whatever, but they're not a good fit for me. Or maybe I don't appreciate the way that they do this or something like that. You know, do your research and ask them questions. Ask them like what their modality is and you know, what they specialize in if they do. And
it's kind of like an interview at first.
It is. And it
should be.
And it, yeah, exactly. And to, you know, try to understand that it is hard to open up to someone random. And so it's not going to be like you just walk in there in the first month and you're, you know, you've clicked amazing and they get you and you get them. And it takes work. But I genuinely believe that what you put in is what you get out of therapy. And, you know, a lot of times you kind of have to put it into perspective, like therapists have heard it all. When I tell you,
that's a good point.
They've heard it all. They are not there to judge you. They're not there to take your trauma home and gossip to their friends about it. Like they've heard it all. And you're not going to shock them with what you're telling them. They are there to listen to your darkest secrets, to your, you know, everything, your biggest gripes, you know, they're there to listen. That's their job. They're not there to judge you.
It can be hard though. Like I have had times where I felt like, am I like stressing out my therapist? I heard Colleen Ballinger talk about this and I totally related to it. Like almost being worried that you're going to like make them uncomfortable by crying or like saying something too far.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it can be difficult to completely feel comfortable.
Completely agree.
I think it just takes time.
It does take time. And it, like I said, it may not be the right fit right off the bat. You may have to go to multiple, but I'm very confident that if you're persistent enough with it, it pretty much always, you know, works out to where you can find someone eventually that you do click with. I mean, therapy really, really does work. And just from like the perspective of during my internship, when I was playing the role of a therapist, and when I say that, I mean, I was actually, you know, I was meeting with clients, I was providing them weekly therapy, you know, in my mind, what they would tell me, I was always, you know, where therapists are trained to be able to absorb whatever you're going to tell them without them being shocked or being weirded out. And maybe, you know, something you say does trigger them, but that's really their own thing. And that's why they go to their own therapist. I mean, at the end of the day, they are here to help you. That is their job. And it takes a level of, you know, trust for yourself and trust in that person that it's okay to talk about whatever you need to open up about. But it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we had some like specific tip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, I would say it takes time.
Yeah, it does.
Don't feel like you have to just open up on everything on the first day.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with going in there and saying, hi, I'm new to this, or maybe you're not new to this. I don't know. But saying I'm nervous to open up to a stranger. I feel weird about it. I feel a little bit hesitant to tell you some things. You can be honest with them and they're not going to be like, well, tell me anyways. You know, they're going to be like, that's totally normal.
Yeah, they can guide you through it.
Yeah, exactly. They're trained to be able to help you when you are feeling concerned. So, all right, next one. I've been friends with someone for over 30 years. This person has been like a sister to me, but lately she's become a very toxic person. I've been considering ending the friendship, but I don't know how. I'm a shy person and I usually avoid conflict, but I know I need to stop letting her walk all over me. When I was her maid of honor, she pretended she had a maid of honor gift for me. Literally 5 seconds after she gave me the gift, she asked to use it as her something borrowed and never gave it back to me.
Damn. That's fucking brutal. Savage.
And after the whole wedding party went shopping for dresses, everyone went out to eat except me. I wasn't invited. I heard my friend say I would just be a fifth wheel. I could go on, but I don't want to make this too long. Any advice would be appreciated.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
She sounds very toxic.
I was going to say that doesn't sound like a good friend anymore. Maybe she was at one point.
So how does she end the friendship?
But 30 years of friendship is a long time.
It is. Is it worth saving?
So my question is, if you do have 30 years of a relationship, can you confront her and say, look, the giving back the something borrowed really hurt. The fact that I wasn't invited really hurt. Can you be honest with her about how you're feeling? Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on how that response is, go from there. Or is it something where you feel it's maybe too much water under the bridge?
Well, I think she said she's a shy person, and that can be really hard. She said she usually avoids conflict. So that's kind of hard to be like,
I agree.
Hey, I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I think that
what's the approach?
If you are wanting to try to salvage that relationship, then I think you owe it to that person of 30 years to be honest with them. And I know that can be hard. Maybe it's not confronting them face to face. Maybe it's writing them a letter and dropping it off.
That's a good idea. Some people, you know, communicate best by writing your thoughts down. It can be so overwhelming. Sure. And if you're a really emotional person, it can be so hard to confront someone and actually get your thoughts out properly.
Right.
Because you get so like,
especially if that other person or you are, if you guys are very reactive and you're maybe going to get heated in the moment and not be able to be as productive as you would have originally, you know, been able to think your thoughts out, write them out. Mm. So that's an option. But, you know, there is a point where maybe it's time for you guys to go separate ways.
Sometimes you need a cutoff.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
We've done it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do it.
And the thing is like, I feel like when you're friends with someone for so long that you kind of have this guilt of like, well, I can't not be friends with them because I've always been friends with them. And like, that's just the way it is. But really, that's not fair to either of you. Mm-mm. Because if that relationship isn't serving you and is only damaging you.
Unless you feel like you can work on it or go to therapy. That would be maybe a good approach. Yep. If she's really like a sister to you and this is someone who you've had in your life for so long, maybe it's worth trying to bring in a third party who can kind of explain things better to each of you and reconnect you. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if you could just always take the approach of like ghosting her.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you like have to just literally stop responding to toxic people, and that's just the way you cut them off.
I would say that it may be helpful to give them, if you do plan to cut that tie with them, to give them a explanation of some sort so that they're not just like, so-and-so blew me off, haven't heard of them in months, what the fuck. You know, you don't have to explain yourself as in like, hope you understand. It can be like, this is just how I'm feeling, this is how it has to be, unfortunately I'm gonna have to cut ties with you, wish you the best. You know, it doesn't have to be this long drawn out thing. But yeah, that's hard. I mean, but that, it sounds like she's not treating you well at all.
No, I would cut her off.
That's not, I mean, that's really unfair and sounds very toxic. Calling you and hurtful.
A fifth wheel is very,
if you're maid of honor, that's really
disrespectful.
Hurtful. And I wonder why she's having you be her maid of honor if she seems to not value you guys' friendship. Yeah, then why even bother with that? I don't know.
I think you should probably move on from her.
Yeah.
Life's too short to have toxic people around, I think.
So me and my sister live around the corner from each other, and our boyfriends are best friends. Me and my sister are also very close to one another, significant other. I'm very close with her boyfriend as a friend, and same way around. For context, me and my boyfriend have been together for 8 years, and she and him have been together for about 2. They only recently moved in together, however, and have been transitioning a lot since she has 2 kids and he's filling a step-parent role. Whenever they fight, I usually get a call from one of them, sometimes both, and I give my advice on what they can do to change for themselves and whatever is going on.
Both of them call her for advice?
I guess so, yeah, because I guess they're all really close. I mostly give advice to her boyfriend, who I was friends with before they started dating. He struggles a lot and I try to be there for him. Just to clarify, I do not pick sides or put each other against each other. Literally a day ago, my boyfriend and I got into an argument and a lot of miscommunication happened, resulting in a big fight. He was with my sister's boyfriend at the time, and instead of being there for me, he hyped me up and even turned it on my sister. I don't think he expected for me and my boyfriend to make up and realize all of the missing pieces and how he's apologetic and wants to consider this a mistake to move on. I'm very hurt and feeling like he was never a friend to me. What are your thoughts on the situation? Sorry if this was long. There's a lot of detail, but I hope this is enough. Dang, so you guys are like all really close friends.
Talk about a mesh, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, holy shit.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of boundaries need to be made.
I was going
to
say, boundaries. Mm. I understand that you guys all want to. It sounds like you really want to be there for each other and are really trying to like genuinely help each other, which is wonderful. And like, you know, you may have good intentions with that, but.
But for the sake of all of your friendships.
Right. For the sake of all of your friendships.
And your mental health.
I don't know if you can necessarily help coach someone else's argument without. While you're really close to both of them, because even if you don't want to take sides, it may seem like you're taking sides, but also it's not your problem to fix. Like,
what if like Josh and I were both calling you after we fought?
Like, I'd be like, get your fucking ass to therapy. But like at the end of the day, that's unhealthy for you to try and be working on like a relationship that's not even yours.
Yeah.
I would maybe. Going forward, put in some ground rules of like, if we're fighting, you can't call the, you know, so-and-so and complain, because then that puts them in a weird place and puts me in a weird place because I'm also friends with them. And then their significant other's friends, you know,
all these lines are just being crossed constantly. Yeah.
So I would definitely, get some boundaries put in there. All right. This is the last one of the episode, and it is, I have a crush on my coworker and have always make eye contact, but I can't decide if I should make a first move or wait on him to do so. Mm-hmm. Each time something funny or eventful happens, we always look at each other and smile, but I could be overanalyzing this. I don't know. Please help. He's also 10 years older than me. I'm 22. He's 32.
It's really hard without actually seeing this in action.
Right.
You know, like he could just be being nice.
But also, I feel like if it's they always make eye contact, like I feel like you can feel it like.
Yeah.
Because of like sexual tension.
But that's got to be like, I could see that being a problem, because like, what if you feel it, but then they're just being nice?
Yeah, they're just nice. That's honestly true. Well, first off, maybe just like make friends with them. Like just genuinely like go at it as not trying to like, you know, like.
Well, they probably already are kind of friends.
Yeah, I guess so. But then they, I don't know. Yeah. Are you guys friends? Does Do you know if he's married? That obviously makes a big difference. I'm going to assume that he's not in this, but he is, that's maybe something to think about. But I don't
how do you like, that's nerve wracking. See, we've never been in this situation because Janelle and I both like are going to marry. Well, you're going to marry your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we never really experienced like dating and like coworker flirting and stuff like that.
No.
But I imagine that would be like kind of nerve wracking because you want to make a move, but it's like, you don't want to,
because
if you make the wrong move and it's not what he was interested in, then it's like awkward.
Totally.
With someone you work with.
100%. So you have the option of, I don't know what type of person you are, but maybe you are confrontational. You can always.
Like, what kind of move are we talking here?
Well, I'm saying you can always come and be like, hey, I want to get drinks sometime.
Yeah, like, that would be good. Like, hey, or like coffee.
Yeah. Hey, would you want to grab a coffee sometime out of work? Would you maybe want to hang out after work and like, see kind of how they respond? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll bring my buddy, too. Then like, OK, that's. But if it's like, yeah, let's go to the let's go get drinks and then Netflix and chill. Well, that's different.
That's good. You could even hit him up with the like, I hear Starbucks has this great shaken brown sugar espresso. Let's go try it out. You want to go try it out?
Yeah,
Make it more about the brown sugar espresso. Because that way friends could go get the brown sugar espresso together, but you could also have a date. And then I think you can gauge the situation a little more after that point, you know, once you're out of the work setting.
Get out of the work setting and see how like the interaction is then, because I think that can be really telling.
Yeah,
I agree. And I don't know if you also have like additional work friends, but maybe if you're too uncomfortable just having it one-on-one, you can invite him and then another work friend of your guys's, and you guys can all go out for drinks. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you still have that opportunity to be out of the work setting, so where you don't have to worry about, like, am I being unprofessional or not? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I don't know if there's, like, rules about dating in your work, and, you know, it's more complicated probably than it is on paper yeah. here, but that's where I would go. I would try and get them out of the work setting first and see what the vibes are.
Yeah.
That's the tea. But yeah. Anyways.
Well, that is going to be it for us this week, you guys. Yeah. We are so happy to be back. Mm-hmm. We missed you. Thanks for missing us. We saw all of your tweets and comments missing the episode this week. And we're going to be back next week. So that's good.
Yeah, we'll be back. We have some really fun episodes planned.
We have an interesting episode planned next, actually. Very exciting.
The most exciting little tidbit is we're moving studios.
Oh, people. Yes, we are.
We haven't talked about this on the sesh yet. If you didn't catch it on Mile Higher, we are moving in the next few months here to a totally different office space. And we're going to have our own set.
Yep. So we don't have to redo the sign every time. It'll just stay there.
We can have a totally unique background. We're going to ditch the table, make it way more like informal, comfortable.
It's going to be really fun.
We're so excited about it. So
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
Oh, before we go, I wanted to shout out the maker of this sweatshirt.
I was going to say, that sweatshirt's cute.
Isn't it so cute?
Fuck, dude.
Someone sent it to my PO box, and I just wanted to shout out their brand. I don't remember your name, but Good Note. I'll link it below.
So cute.
They make a bunch of cute tie-dye stuff.
And ooh, I might have to snatch my pair.
Josh brought it in this morning because I like had no laundry. Our laundry's so backed up. We've just been like so busy. And he's like, well, someone sent you this. You want to wear this? I was like, yeah,
perfect.
That's coming awesome. In clutch.
That good looks note. Like really good quality.
It is. It really is.
Sweet.
It's good stuff.
Well, anyways, guys, thanks so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate your support. And sorry it was, you know, a heavy topic to begin at the start, but
this was a feel like we could get around
it. It was a roller coaster, but that's kind of like how I like our episodes a lot is like to really be able to do whatever we want.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, we got to be real. Like,
we got to be real.
It's very hard to just fake emotional.
Yeah.
You know, it's
exactly
not able to do it.
No, not definitely. Not us. Some people can do that, which is totally fine. But just, the way both of us work, we're pretty emotional people. And it's just important for us to be able to kind of like express that. So anyways.
So thanks for listening.
Yes. Thanks for listening,
guys. As always.
We appreciate you. And we'll see you on the next sesh.
But until then,
keep it fresh.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.